All right, go to the book of John, if you would. The book of John, chapter number 3. John, chapter number 3. A very familiar passage of Scripture for many. Even those who are not really accustomed to church, they may know one particular verse out of this chapter. That's John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Aren't you glad that He loved the world?
Amen.
And then it tells you how He acted on that love, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the whole gospel written right there. John chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse number 3. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word, if you're able? John chapter 3, we'll read in verse number 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. You know, today is Family Day, fishing for family. And I'm glad to see some of your relatives, or maybe not your relatives, but people that you know and are like your family. And this is a message today kind of geared around family. And I call this message, Do You Belong? Do you belong to the family? Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. Heavenly Father, once again, I come before your throne and we humbly ask that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray you would take me out of the way. You'd just use me as a messenger and that this would be your words and not my own. I pray that you would speak to all of our hearts, mine included. I pray if there's someone here today that's not part of your family, I pray that today they would be a part of your family. They'd make that choice. They'd make that decision to be adopted into your family today. I pray for these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When it comes to family, I was thinking about this. You know, everybody has a need to feel like they belong, right? Nobody likes to feel excluded. Nobody feels like they're left out. Everybody wants to feel like they're a part of something, right? That's why there's so many clubs and associations and lodges and things like that. There's so many communities and committees. People just like to feel like they're a part of something, right? Well, at the most basic level of being a part of something, there's a family. You came from somewhere. I know these are deep theological truths, right? You came from somewhere. Everybody here has a family in the biological sense. Okay? You had, at some point, you have a biological father and you had a biological mother and you came into being. So everybody at a biological level has parents that way. But just because everybody has a place where they came from doesn't mean that everybody has a family. You might be able to relate to this sort of thing. Maybe your family has moved away. Or maybe your family has passed on. Or maybe your family, you're not on speaking terms. Maybe your family left. You know, we live in a sin-cursed world. It's a corrupt world that we live in. You don't have to read the newspaper for too long to realize this world is not a good place. We live in a corrupt world. Parents, they walk out and they leave. They walk out and they leave, and sometimes children do the same thing. They walk out on their family and they leave the house. Sometimes children are separated from their parents because they have to be for their safety. Sometimes parents don't take care of their children like they ought to, and children are separated. Sometimes it's because a family is not able to take care of their children. Other times it's because they won't. Tragedies happen. And they take family away. I'm sure everybody in this room today could identify with that sort of a feeling. But the point is, you know, the image that we have of a family in front of the white picket fence well, you know, 2.5 children and a dog. That's not the reality for everybody. You know, and people sometimes long to have that kind of a family, but we live in a society where that's not the reality for everybody. Can I tell you, I've been there. I've looked at my family and wished that I could have a normal family, like everybody else. But really, if you look at everybody else, does anybody really have a normal family? Everybody's got some sort of relations, and even if you don't have any, you want to feel like you're a part of something. You may have come to church today to feel like you're a part of something. And I pray that you will feel like you're a part of our family. But we all have a feeling of needing to belong somewhere. And unfortunately, at the most basic level of a family, it can't always be counted on. There's many, maybe even some of you who wouldn't necessarily have a family, so to speak. But you do have a place of belonging. Let me repeat that. If you don't have a family, you do have a place where you belong. A place that was not just for you to belong, but it was made right for you. Do you know that? There is a place that was made for you to belong. You belong with God. Amen. You belong with God. God made you for the purpose of fellowshipping with Himself. That's why God made you. We look at all the way back in the Garden of Eden, when God made Adam and then his wife Eve. God made the first two human beings. He made them so that they could walk and talk with Him, and they could tell Him all about their day, and they could fellowship with Him and just have a place of belonging with Him. That is the purpose of mankind. You ever wonder why God made human beings? It's so that we would have fellowship with Him. Right. Of course, God did make us to take care of this world that He put us in, but on a deeper level, He wanted to have a relationship with us. But Adam and Eve, they forfeited that relationship. They disobeyed God, and God told them that when they disobeyed, that relationship would be cut off. And of course, the serpent came by and told Eve, I want you to understand something. The serpent did not tempt Eve with a piece of fruit. Never in my life have I walked through the grocery store and seen a piece of fruit and went, ooh, I just have to have one of those. I'm sorry, it's just not all that tempting to me. Maybe it's tempting for you, but that's not for me. But what Satan was tempting Eve with is, if you eat this fruit, you will know good and evil. Right now, God knows. He knows what's good and evil, and He's making these choices for you. But if you eat this fruit, you will get to decide what is good and what is evil. Do you know, understand what He tempted mankind with? Independence from God. We could say that mankind was the first children to walk away from their parents, because mankind did. That we made a choice to walk away from God. And because of their sin, every one of us has that sin nature. Every one of us naturally chooses the things that are against God. You ever wonder where a child learns how to lie? You don't have to teach them in some sort of lying school, right? It just comes naturally. It just happens. It's in our nature. We naturally do the things that are wrong. The Bible says, for all have sinned. That means every single one of us, even you, preacher, yes, as close as I look to perfection, I am not perfect. That was a joke. You could have laughed at that. That was okay. But because we all come from Adam and Eve, sin has been passed down through the generations. You understand? We inherited our sinful nature from our earthly family. You may have inherited your parents' eye color. You might have inherited your parents' hair color or the style of your hair or the shade of your skin. You might have inherited your grandfather's nose or your aunt and uncle's smile. But every one of us have inherited our propensity to do wrong from our earthly family, the family of mankind. That's the family we all belong to, is it not? We're all human. And that's what we've all inherited, is our propensity to do wrong. And we have a longing inside of every human being to belong to something more. Have you ever noticed that? It's never really enough just to be human. People all around the world long for something more, something after this life. Almost every religion throughout history has had some sort of an idea of an afterlife. Why do you think that is? It's because deep down inside of everybody, there's a longing to belong somewhere that's not filled. And so people try to substitute it with all sorts of religions and ideas and things like that. People throughout the world today worship a host of other gods, or maybe they worship the universe or some sort of spirit. Even people who don't believe in the spiritual, but they put their faith in science, so-called, and reason. This is a continual search for something. It just proves there is a longing inside of every one of us to belong with something. And I'm here to tell you this morning that something is with God. That's where everybody longs to belong, because that's how God created us. God created us to belong with Him. And because of our sin, it's gone. And so people try to do all sorts of things to make that relationship feel better. Some people come to church like maybe that's going to fix it. Maybe if I come to church, that'll fix my relationship with God, and it won't. And people, maybe they go to their priest and they try to confess their sins like maybe that's going to try to heal that relationship between them and God, and it's not going to. People try all sorts of ways to do it, but there will still always be a hole in the heart that cannot be filled. You ever try like a child trying to fit a square peg into a round hole? Have you ever seen the people on the airlines? They're trying to fit that overhead bag into that space up there, and they just can't quite fit it, and they get frustrated and they get angry. That's what mankind is. Because we are all trying to fill that hole in our heart. We belong somewhere. We belong with God. But we cannot fill that hole on our own. We cannot do it. One of these men that was searching, his name was Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was a religious leader. He was a religious leader amongst the Jews. He was a Pharisee. And he comes to Jesus by night because he recognizes that Jesus may be different. Jesus is not like some of these other teachers. There is something different about Jesus. And he goes to Jesus at night. He doesn't want to be criticized by his fellow Pharisees. And he comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, what do I have to do? What do I have to do? And Jesus says in verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you understand what Jesus said here? Jesus makes a conditional statement. If you want to see the kingdom of God, you want to go where you belong, then you have to be born again. Amen. You have to be born again. What is the kingdom of God? This is the place where we belong. This is heaven. This is where God rules over our hearts as the true authority. Our heart is literally His kingdom, and He is the King. And if you want to be at that place where God is in charge and you want to go to heaven someday, you have to be born again. Jesus says that's the only way to get into heaven. It's not through praying 5 times a day. It's not through fasting. It's not through baptism. It's not through communion. It's not through sacraments. It's not through any of those things. You must be born again. Jesus says the only way to get into God's kingdom is to be born again. What does that mean? Well, we were born into the sinful family of humanity, right? Every one of us, if you're here sitting in this pew, you've been born once into the sinful family we call mankind. This is where we can't, and you can't do anything to change that. You can't just think really hard and not be a part of humanity anymore. You can't pick up a self-help book and try to follow all the principles and all those things. And no amount of good works could ever undo the fact you were born into sinful humanity. You're going to mess up. If you tried your dead level best to be a good person for the rest of your days, you would wind up failing, because every one of us is born into that sinful family. So in order to see God's kingdom, in order to go to heaven, and be with God, in order to have that relationship with God where you belong, you've got to have a new birth. You've got to be born again. Verse 4, Nicodemus is confused. He says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He's asking, I don't understand this, Jesus. You're telling me I got to be born again. Can I somehow make myself born again physically? And Jesus was not talking about that sort of thing. Verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Did you see that? Be born of the water and be born of the Spirit. We see that first birth, born of the water. That's a water birth. A lot of people think, well, that's baptism. Nope. Water means, you know, when a lady is about to give birth, what do we say when she goes into labor? Her water breaks, right? When you are born, there is that amniotic fluid that surrounds you. You are born of water. And you are born that first time through the means of that water. That's what he's talking about. Through the means of that water, you're born the first time. Everybody got that? That's your physical birth. That's the same birth we've been talking about, being born into this earthly family. And then he says, born of water and then born of the Spirit. In other words, it's the Spirit through which we are born again. That's being born of God's Holy Spirit. Think about back to the Garden of Eden I just referenced. Adam and Eve, God told them, "In the day that thou eatest of the fruit, thou shalt surely die." The same day you eat that fruit, you will die. And what happened? Adam and Eve, they ate of the fruit, and did they die? Well, in a spiritual way, yes, they did. Their bodies did not physically die that day, but that spirit, that thing that longs to be with God, that's what died that day. Every one of us has a dead spirit. When we're born, that spirit that was born to belong with God and to communicate with God is inactive. It's dead. It's not alive. Adam and Eve continued to live, but their spirit died, and the spirit is the part of you that connects and communicates with God. When you're born into the sinful family of humanity, your spirit is already dead. And that's why so many people are looking. They're trying to make their spirit come alive again. They go to these feel-good churches, and they will try to get the emotions going. And this makes me feel like my spirit's alive. But you go home, and guess what? That doesn't fix the problem. Your spirit is still dead. In order for it to be made alive, it has to be born again. So what Jesus is saying here is that in order to get back into the place where we belong, into the family of God, into that relationship with God, to heaven, you have to be born again or have your spirit made alive again. So how does this happen? That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? How do we have that born again reaction? Verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Notice that capital letter S there in your Bible. Now, I'm not a real smart man, but I know in school they taught me you capitalize the first letter of a name. When it's talking about the Spirit here, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God. Romans 8, chapter 3 says, "For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Do you understand what I just read here? There's an exchange here. Jesus was made like us so that we could be made like him. You get that? Jesus was made flesh and bone like us. He was born into humanity, but he lived that perfect life because he is God. He is God Almighty. He is God omnipotent, God omniscient, God omnipresent. He is God Almighty in flesh and bone. That's who Jesus is. And Jesus was made flesh and bone like you and me so that one day our spirit could be made like him, who is everlasting from to everlasting. That's that everlasting life he talks about. Because he died on the cross, he paid that penalty that we deserve. He died and he bled to cover our sins. The things that we've done wrong, the things that send us to the lake of fire, he died to forgive those things. And he rose again. And the Bible says that if we just believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths, Lord Jesus, that that exchange can be made. Jesus was put to death so that we could have eternal life.
That's right.
That's the exchange. Romans 8:8-9 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. This is how we're born again. We're born of the Holy Spirit of God. He makes our spirits alive again when we accept Jesus' death for our penalty. That's how you do it. You have to believe that not only did Jesus die to pay for your sins, but you accept that for yourself and say, I want that forgiveness. I want it for myself. It's just belief in your heart. That's it. That's how we're born again. When you do that, the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God comes inside of you and he quickens your spirit. That's the Bible word for it. Makes it alive. And your spirit is alive. You ever wonder how Christians can be so happy? Christians can have joy in any situation, no matter what the circumstances is, because no matter how bad physically things here on earth are, we have that hole filled in. In other words, that hole in your heart is in the shape of Jesus Christ. And you could try to fit all sorts of other things in it. You could try to fit money in it. You could try to fit fame and popularity. You could try to fit religion into that hole. And it's not going to do you a thing. You're still going to have that Jesus-shaped hole in your heart until it is filled with the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
That's what it means to be born again. When your spirit is made alive. When you accept Jesus' death as your payment for sin. And because you're born of the Holy Spirit, when you're born, you have a family, right? When you're born of the Spirit, you've got a family. You have a new family, the family of God. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. We are adopted into the family of God. And I can be called a son of God. And you can be called a daughter of God. And we can all be called children of God because of what Jesus did on the cross to get the Holy Spirit to make our spirits alive again. We can be born again and have a new life in Christ. It's not like the old life when you were born into sinful humanity. Now you have the Holy Spirit working in you. Yeah, you're not going to be perfect. As long as you live in this old sack of flesh and bones, you're not going to live a perfect life. But you live in the Spirit. And even though the flesh does things that are wrong, when God looks at your spirit, it's made alive. And it's justified and made righteous in His sight. And you're accepted into His family and into His kingdom. We can be a part of God's family. That's where we belong. That's what we've been talking about this whole time. That is where we belong. This is that longing to be filled. If you came here to church this morning and you felt like something was missing and you felt like you were longing to be a part of something, can I tell you, it's through Jesus. Jesus, you can belong. You can belong. You may not have an earthly family, but you can be a part of God's family. And I'd rather be a part of God's family than any other kind of family. I'd rather be a part of God's family than the royal family or the presidential family. I'd rather be a part of God's family. Like the woman at the well. Jesus went to her and he asked for some water at the well. And she said, you have nothing to draw with. I'd get it for you. You don't have anything for me to get water for you. And Jesus said to her, if only you knew who I was, I could give you living water. And anyone that drinks that living water will never thirst again.
Amen.
How can that be? Once you've had a taste of Jesus, once you've had the taste of His gift, of His sacrifice on the cross, you'll never want anything more.
That's
You will find that fulfillment. You will find that longing for your spirit, because he's the only thing that can make your spirit come alive. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." It's to them that believe. That's it. You have to receive him. And in other words, that means you've got to believe that Jesus died to pay for your sin debt. Out of sorrow for your sins, ask him to forgive them and make you a part of God's family. Hey, you understand, the devil doesn't want you to hear that. The devil doesn't want you to hear that, and that's why distractions happen. Understand, what's happening now is the difference of you leaving this building and living in misery and living in woe because there's no hope for your soul, or leaving this place fulfilled because you became a part of God's family. You could have that today. Can I ask you this morning, do you belong? Do you belong to God's family? If you do, enjoy it. We are a family. We call each other brother and sister around here because we really are brothers and sisters in Christ. If I'm a son of God and you're a son of God, then that makes you my brother. And if I'm a son of God and you're a daughter of God, that makes you my sister. And we are a family. And I love our church. Our church is a family. I said it in the bulletin. I don't have family that lives around here. My family, we're the only ones that live right here. But I never feel alone because I got my church family. Amen. And I love all of you. And you can be a part of that. But you might have walked in here and you realize I don't have that sense of belonging. My heart's been searching for something and I didn't know what it was. I'll tell you this morning, it was Jesus. Amen. It's Jesus. He is the thing that will fulfill all your longing. And if you would just accept him by faith this morning, you could belong to God's family. Amen. You know, back in Bible times, when someone was adopted into the family, they would take the one who was to be adopted and they'd go up to the doorpost. And they would take their ear and put it up against the door. And they would take a nail and they would literally nail their ear to the doorpost. That was symbolically, you are attached to this house. Symbolically, you cannot ever be unattached from this house. When you were adopted in the Bible, do you know there was no law that could ever undo that adoption? You were into that family forever and ever. Even if you wanted to disown your family, you couldn't do it legally. You were a part of that family for life. Here's what's even great. You understand, a natural born child could be disowned, but you could never disown someone who was adopted into the family. And that's the same with God. If you're adopted into his family, you can never be disinherited. You can never be disowned. You are linked with God. You are there where you belong forever and ever for all of eternity. Do you belong? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes.